are to teach our children the fear of the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord? It means to have an affection for God, to love Him. It means to provide a place for Him at the very center of our lives.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
If we would be men in the truest sense, we must focus on God's standards and not on Satan's. Every one of us should be burdened to embrace and reflect the marks of wisdom in a godly man. I want you to notice with me four of those marks. First of all, Paul says, I want you to be a man of caution. Watch. Then he says, I want you to be a man of conviction. Stand fast in the faith. Then he says, I want you to be a man of courage. Quit you like men. Be strong. And then he says, I want you to be a man of compassion. Let all your things be done in love. Be a man of caution, a man of conviction, be a man of courage, be a man of compassion. Those are the marks of wisdom in a godly man. These are the things that I pray to God He'll make me in my home and in this local church. Now let's talk about them for a moment. First of all, Paul says, I want you to be a man of caution. He says, I want you to watch. What does it mean to watch? Very interesting word in the Greek New Testament. The present imperative. Paul is not talking about momentary attitudes, but he's talking about continuing states. I want you always to be watching. And the Greek term means literally to stay awake. And it denotes much more than the mere absence of sleep. You can have your eyes wide open and still be lulled to sleep spiritually. He says, I want you to stay awake. And it denotes much more than the mere absence of sleep. It implies a determined effort at wakefulness. He's saying literally, and this is what the word means, be on the alert, keep zealous, watch over. It means to be vigilant. It's translated that way in one place in the New Testament, 1 Peter 5:8. It means to be vigilant. It means to give careful attention to determined efforts at wakefulness. Let's be as practical as we can. What does it mean for a father to be alert, to be watching, to be making a determined effort to be awake with respect to the spiritual well-being of his family? What does it mean on a very practical level? For a man to be spiritually alert or awake in his home suggests that he will constantly guard his home, his wife, and his family against spiritual dangers. And that implies a couple of very practical things. One, he is aware of what is spiritually dangerous. And two, he has a handle on the tools that will help him to combat those dangers, the tools that are in the Scripture and the deepening of his relationship with God. It means several things to me very practically. I'd like to share them with you quickly. Some very practical insights that relate to us as fathers, if I'm going to be alert in my family. It means, number one, that I will learn to recognize false ideas and deceptive reasonings which could captivate my family members. Secondly, it means practically for my family and for this local church that we must learn to see God's potential for each family member. And then there's a third way in which I demonstrate I'm awake or alert to the needs of my family. And that is, I determine unwise associations and destructive friendships. I wonder how many of us as parents even know who our children's friends are, or how cautious we are. We're to be a man of caution. Watch, be awake, be alert, be vigilant. How cautious we are in superintending and regulating the friendships of our children. Determine unwise associations and destructive friendships. That's why the Bible says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That's the father with his hand on the shoulder of his son. And he's saying to his son, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And he tells them why he shouldn't do it. Proverbs, the first chapter, verse 10 and following. And we're taught by the Apostle Paul in this same book, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, be not deceived, evil companions, literally corrupt good morals. Detect unwise association and destructive friendships. Let me give you a fourth one. Here's a fourth, very practical application of what it means to watch, to be alert. Know what erodes our family's love for God. Do you know what can erode your family's love for God? Let me suggest several things to you. Just very quickly read them to you. One thing that can erode your family's love for God is a lack of the fear of the Lord at home. A failure to teach your children to fear the Lord. You're taught in Psalms 34 and verse 11 that we are to teach our children the fear of the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord? It means to have an affection for God, to love Him. It means to provide a place for Him at the very center of our lives instead of at the peripheral of our lives. It means to have a dependence upon God, a reverence for God, and an abhorrence of all that is ungodly. Teach your children the fear of the Lord, because an absence of the fear of the Lord in the home erodes love for God. Something else that erodes love for God, godless philosophies in public education. One of the wisest things you could ever do is provide for your children a Christian education. Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Proverbs 19 and verse 27, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth thee to err from the words of knowledge. Proverbs 19, verse 27. There's a third thing that can erode our love for God within the framework of the family. The turbulent desires of youth. Are you fathers aware of that? The turbulent desires of youth. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Psalm 119, verse 9. We must know what erodes our family's love for God and combat it according to God's principles. I'll tell you something else that erodes love. Twisted values due to affluence. We live in an affluent generation. Twisted values due to affluence erode love for God. Hosea chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. They were filled. They were affluent. And then their heart was exalted. They were proud. And then they forgot God. Affluence and the twisted values that can grow out of it erodes a man's love for God. There's a fifth thing that can erode our love for God. Increase of iniquitous behavior. It's all about us. The increase of iniquitous behavior. Matthew 24 and verse 12 says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold or grow cold. Know what erodes our love for God. There's a fifth thing, and this is the final thing. There's a fifth thing that we need to do if we really want to watch in our homes, and that is remove destructive influences from your home. I believe that we should cleanse our homes in order to create an atmosphere of learning and living Scripture. And then once we've cleansed our homes, we should dedicate our homes as a godly center for the Lord. And that's biblical. Did you know that in the ancient Orient, in the ancient world, it was customarily a practice whenever you bought a new home or moved into a new piece of property to dedicate that home? Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 5, what man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Deuteronomy 20 and verse 5. Did you know that the 30th Psalm was a psalm that was to be read at the dedication of David's home? They dedicated their homes to the Lord. Maybe we need to do that. Maybe we need to cleanse our home and then dedicate it to the Lord. And then on an annual basis, they renewed that. Every year at the time of the Passover, the Bible says they were to go on the first day of the Passover feast, which was an eight-day feast. On the first day of that feast, they were to go through all of their home and remove the leaven. And leaven was a symbol of evil, of corruption. All the things that were displeasing to God were to be removed from that home. We should remove from our home destructive influences. You say, well, what should we remove? May I suggest a few things? Very quickly, here are some things that we ought to remove from our homes, destructive influences we ought to remove from our homes. May I suggest sensual literature and sensual music, rotten magazines and the rock culture? May I suggest that? We ought to cleanse our homes of those godless things. The Playboy and Penthouse mentality, the pornographic publications and soundtracks, the so-called Christian rock, which is roughly equivalent to Christian pornography. We ought to remove those destructive influences for our homes. We don't realize what we're doing to our children. We allow those things in our homes. Do you know the effect of these things in your children? When these things are present in a home, you know what they do? They produce guilt by violating moral principles. Ephesians 5, 3 to 6. They diminish spiritual vision by inhibiting our ability to look at life through God's eyes. Matthew 6, 22 and 23. Do you know what sensual literature and sensual music in a home will do? It will set standards for daughters to follow. Do you know that a daughter follows what her father admires? Whatever she sees you admiring on the television or a magazine or a piece of literature or in the newspaper or someone walking down the street, whatever she sees you admiring, she emulates. We set standards for our daughters to follow, and we lower the resistance of our sons to a strange woman, an immoral woman, as she's defined in the book of Proverbs. Do you know that sensual literature and sensual music actually lays the foundation for insanity? You know what insanity is? Actions without responsibility. And that's what sensual music and sensual literature encourage, actions without responsibility. You can do this and get away with it. No consequences to your sins. It's a devil's lie. When a man begins to act irresponsibly, and that's what he does when he's looking at sensual literature and listening to sensual music, when a man begins to behave irresponsibly, he soon begins to think incoherently. That's insanity. Do you know what motivated the prodigal son to return home? He came to himself. He saw that he'd been behaving insanely. All sin is insanity. Every transgression against God in God's universe is an act of insanity. And it's particularly true in the area of sensual literature. In sensual music. That's what Paul meant when he talked about a reprobate mind.
Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Here's the second thing we ought to cleanse from our homes. Not only sensual literature and sensual music, but may I suggest we ought to cleanse from our homes unrestricted television. Do you know why that's so important? Because unrestricted television establishes an amusement format which lowers our guard against evil. You know what amusement means? You know what the word means? It means not to think. To muse means to think. Amuse means not to think. But the Bible says, Proverbs 4 and verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. Think. It establishes an amusement format which lowers our guard against evil. It devours our time. And the Bible says that we're to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5 verse 16. Do you know that the average American child by the age of 17 has watched 15,000 hours of television? That preschoolers are the largest class of individuals that watch television. 30.4 hours a week is the average according to recent statistics. Do you know that a 17-year-old having watched 15,000 hours of television, that's roughly equivalent to 2 solid years, 24 hours a day, and it is enough classroom time to have earned him 5 PhD degrees. But what has he learned? Unrestricted television. It devours our time. It provides instant access to immorality, wicked people, violence, and wrong concepts. The Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Psalm 101, verse 3. The most unwise thing you could do for your children is to turn that television on and just let them go, get them out of your hair. Unrestricted television is a devastating thing in Christian families. And I want to give you another one. Godless theater attendance. You know why this is so critical? Because it gives financial support to an industry that has mocked God's standards. 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 2. Shouldest thou help the ungodly? Shouldest thou love those that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee. 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 2. It puts parental approval on entertainment that is primarily evil in philosophy. And the Bible says we're to abstain from every appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. It encourages our sons and daughters to make ungodly people their heroes. David said, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. I'm going to make the faithful ones my heroes. Psalm 101, verse 6. And I want to tell you that what one generation say, well, we only go to the good movies. We just go to the G-rated movies. There's a G-rated mentality among Christians today, which is devastating. I want to tell you something. What one generation allows in moderation, the next generation excuses in excess. I'll tell you something else we ought to cleanse our homes of, occult objects. So, well, what do you mean? I don't have any occult objects. What are occult objects? Maybe replicas of pagan gods, incense-burning Buddhas. Oriental decor is fine. Oriental gods are pagan. Replicas of pagan gods, rock music, much of which is occult-oriented, and, if you will, occult-blessed. Occult objects. The fifth thing we ought to cleanse our homes of, binding habits. Habits that we have that we know are displeasing to God. The gospel proclaims liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, and our refusal to break with binding habits is a very contradiction of the gospel. It proclaims liberty, and we're bound, and it devastates our children. These are the areas in which we must be alert. Paul says, watch, fathers. Be a man of caution.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
If we're going to love our children, love our wives, we're going to have to convince them we're protecting them in love and not anger, and that our purpose is for God's glory and their good and not for my reputation.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.